I'm sat with Hannah Nicklin. Happy birthday, Hannah.
Yay! I have my traditional birthday cold. So if I start coughing and wheezing, it's tradition. I'm not dying.
Fair enough. Well, you are slowly. You're another year older.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. 26. Good, isn't it?
Oh, late 20s. Nice.
No longer get that fabled... Well, I can get a young person's rail card because I'm still a student. But technically, I'm no longer a young person with regards to the rail card.
No, not at all. You're quite passionate about education, aren't you? Why is that?
Because I think that's what we build our... Knowledge is how we build our civilization. I'm personally doing a PhD. I did my undergrad degree working several jobs each summer in order to afford it. Took out a career development loan, which is still biting me in the ass to do my master's. Very luckily got a studentship, which is basically a scholarship to do my PhD at the moment. And I see the real value of research, not just to science and technology, but also to society with regards to research in the arts and social sciences, all these kind of things. And education is sort of key to social mobility, I think. Absolutely vital to people from disadvantaged backgrounds in levelling their opportunities throughout life.
So up until the... recent release of the Brown with an E review. I'll let you have your moment with that in a moment. How accessible has education been recently?
I think, to be fair about this, it has become less accessible. So Labour, they wanted to get an awful lot of people to university. And I understand why they wanted to do that. But I actually think that tuition fees, bringing in tuition fees, although university funding really did need looking at and, you know, was a complicated situation, I don't think tuition fees necessarily mean that the right people are going to university. University has now become, from how I see it, from my point of view, something that middle class kids do. It's the thing that they do next after sixth form. There's no idea of you know, maybe training elsewhere or starting an internship. You know, uni is what you do. It's part of your life if you're middle class. I think I read something on the BBC. There's something like 60% of people from disadvantaged backgrounds don't go to uni because of student debt. At the moment, student debt... So you take out a loan from the government, which is subsidised in terms of the interest rate, and you don't have to pay it back until you earn a certain amount, and that will help you pay both your living costs and fees of up to something like £3,500 a year. So I left university with roughly £15,000 worth of debt, which I'm not paying back yet because I'm not earning more than £15,000 a year. But that debt to someone who has never... experienced debt, like for a middle class household, mortgages and credit cards are kind of a part of our lives now in a way they weren't 20, 25 years ago until Thatcher allowed you to buy your council house. Right now, someone for whom borrowing £100 at a ridiculous interest rate just to get through, just to buy food for their family for the next few weeks until payday, sees debt as something incredibly destructive. And they're also, you know, demonised for being on, for maybe they're on benefits, you're demonised for being in debt to the state. So for certain disadvantaged groups, debt is a really, really bad thing. And that's why that student debt, although does enable certain people to go to university, it can also put people off. So that's kind of how the situation was until the Brown Report was announced.
Is it ideally then people who should be building on an existing good, solid education, clever people, that you think should be going to university regardless of their financial position?
I think I'd probably slightly challenge the terms of your question there, in that I don't necessarily believe in clever and stupid.
I didn't say stupid, did
no,
I?
No, but I think clever implies a not clever.
Okay.
And I think everyone has something valuable to give to the country, and cleverness is often valued in a white, middle class, Western world context, which isn't necessarily useful. I'm probably getting a bit too academic, aren't I?
No, keep going. You've still got me.
So what you're asking is, who do I think should be going to university?
Yeah.
So I think that people who work hard and are capable should be going to university.
Okay.
At the moment, it's seen as like the accession to being middle class, and something that middle class kids do, like I said, unless you're talking Cambridge, Oxbridge, in which case it's something rich kids do.
Yes.
and it should be something that if you are capable, you should be doing. And there are different ways of doing this. Some people have mooted that the top so much percent, so the top 10% of every school should go to university.
Mm.
So that would take account for schools in disadvantaged areas which tend to not be able to offer the same opportunities to their kids. I'm not sure if I agree with that necessarily. Quotas are always a dangerous thing.
What background are you talking from?
What background? Okay, so my mum is a social worker. My dad's a policeman. Mm-hmm. My dad's retired now, but he was a policeman. When I went to university, I was a single parent family with a brother. I don't think I can claim to be anything apart from middle class now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I was the first person in my family to get a degree in a university. My parents did open university degrees later on in life. So I guess I'm much more privileged than a lot of people, but I also sort of can understand the concept of not being privileged,
right,
which I'm lucky to have that insight, I think.
So how come your parents did open university and you got to go to university? What was the change that happened there? There's still this mindset that it's the people later on in life that go to open university. It's a different kind of university, when in reality more and more younger people are going to open university. And in fact, I think a 12-year-old got a degree recently, which is a little bit crazy in my mind. What was I doing? I was climbing trees then.
I think I was breaking both my arms when I was 12. I think the world was turning slightly then. Degrees were becoming more of a typical thing to have. So I think they got degrees at that point because it helped advance their careers. And I think they just really valued learning. I think,
and they couldn't necessarily take 3 years out.
Well, no. I mean, my mum went to college and trained as a sort of a occupational therapist,
mm-hmm.
And my dad was in the police from age 15 or 16 or whatever their stage was.
Mm.
But I think I grew up with an incredible amount of value put on education as a social leveller, and as the way of, you know, asserting yourself. Because if you don't have the vocabulary to change the world and to put yourself across to people, then you don't have the power. You know, knowledge is power.
So how does the Brown Review, or how potentially may the Brown Review, change all of this?
Okay, so the Brown Review.
I know you're shaking with anger right now. Just calm yourself down and compose.
Don't do it, Christy. Yes, okay, so the Brown Review, what it proposes is the part privatisation of our education system. No longer will there be teaching grants. No longer are the universities going to get any really substantial degree of public funding. This is the government saying we place no value on your higher education. They are turning it partly into a business, because what they're doing is cutting 80% of the teaching budgets, 79%, 8%, and for certain non-strategic disciplines, so your arts, your humanities, non-strategic languages, whatever you want to expect they are, social sciences, those kind of things are getting 100% cut in their teaching budgets. What that means is several things. In order to maintain a current level of funding, a university, so they've also removed the cap on tuition fees. Okay, so when I say they're doing this, this is all the proposal in the review, which has been welcomed by government. It still has to pass through Houses of Parliament, etc.
And will it pass? What are your thoughts on this?
Will it pass?
What are people doing to stop it being passed?
Shall I say what it's doing to the education system?
Yeah, carry on, carry on. Otherwise, I'll just take you off on some of the angry flows.
Okay, so basically, in order to maintain even current levels of funding, a university will have to raise their fees to just under £7,000. That's a doubling in current fees. Because there is no cap then on tuition fees, it will become a marketplace. So top 10 universities like my university, Loughborough University, particularly places like Cambridge and Oxford, will be able to charge what they like, and it will be a very high amount because people want to go to those places. It's a return to the polytech uni system of, decades ago, and it will mean that certain universities have to price themselves into them, underprice themselves, undercut, because they're seen as less good universities, and they will produce less good courses because they will not be able to charge enough to give a decent amount of funding for their courses. It will also mean that you are choosing between a good university or an affordable university. If you're from a middle class household that doesn't qualify for financial help, you're going to be fucked. If you are from a working class background and you see, for example, Loughborough University, I can quite conceivably imagine that they would charge double what is average. So say £7,000 is the average. I can quite easily imagine them charging 15 grand a year for an engineering course, because we're very, very good at engineering, and they're 4-year courses. Say to someone, you're going to come out of university with a 60 grand debt in tuition fees alone, not even taking into account living costs. I just think that that's a complete fuck you to the younger generation and mature students who want to retrain and learn, because these are the future taxpayers. And this is a government who is saying to us that a national debt is untenable, at the same time as saying 60,000 worth of personal debt is okay, it's an investment. So it's just gross hypocrisy. And then you'll get certain disciplines like the arts and humanities, which is, it's already shown that people are willing to pay less for, because you get less contact hours and stuff because they're much more self-led. What will happen is that they will have to be underpriced and will eventually fold. Most of them will eventually fold. And this is, you know, again, the arts, for example, 8 out of 10 tourists coming to the UK come here for the arts. The arts bring in more money than the pharmaceutical industries. Local income to the UK, 6% of it is accounted for by the arts. It's a false economy on so many scales. What are people doing? You asked me that before I went ranting. there's very simple things you can do. I did a letter to my MP. I've done a template for that, so people can copy that and write to their MP about what's going to happen. If you're at university, write to your vice chancellor, write to your student union representative, president, ask them to do something. There's also a letter you can sign to Vince Cable, because the Lib Dems basically said that every single one of the Lib Dems signed a bloody contract saying they weren't going to raise tuition fees, and now they're complicit in that.
Can we sue them?
I think if you were going to sue politicians for breaking their promises, I think you'd...
Well, we need to start a precedent.
We'd have to do a class action. that's not fair. I think a lot of politicians do really brilliant jobs. But yes, if you go to standupforstudents.org.uk, you can co-sign a letter which Labour students have set up to Vince Cable. Because I think
you don't have to be Labour to sign that, though, do you?
No, of course not. It's set up by them because Labour are the only party at the moment which aren't for tuition fee rises.
Is that because they're not in power anymore?
They did put them... They did introduce tuition fees, so they have something to answer for, but I don't think they would have removed the current stance.
It's difficult to say because there's a lot of shouting from the backbenchers,
yes,
and the opposition.
And we've just the Labour Party have just elected Ed Miliband, which is I believe a turning point for where the party stands on certain things, and what Ed Miliband says is that there should be a sliding scale graduate tax. So removing that debt word, and every graduate pays a tax. The more you earn, the more you pay, and that's how we subsidise universities.
It kind of would be the more logical approach, I suppose,
and much easier to implement and actually, because if the student loans company,
but sliding scale, you know,
to run.
At the moment, there's a certain amount you have to earn before you start paying back. Maybe it will start, you know, taking money from people who really aren't earning that much anyway, on top of every other tax that we have to. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, obviously
detail.
You need to iron out the details. But there's also a march happening. The UCU, which is like the university's academics union, I can't remember what it stands for, universities and something something, and the NUS, everyone knows what that stands for, are marching on the 10th of November in London. And I think the website for that is demo2010.org. Okay. And if you go there, you can sign up, support the demo, obviously share it to all your social networks and stuff, and go there and stand up and say, look, number one, you're being really hypocritical. Number two, you need to value our contribution. We are not wasting our time trying to get a decent... We will pay taxes once we graduate. We contribute not only to... The tax income, but also to the way that our country is run, the research standing and
the
all
knock
these on things.
Effects of higher education being crippled by this takeover by business to a certain extent.
Yeah,
I mean, it's almost immeasurable, isn't it?
Because the point at which you monetize an education, the point at which someone like a student will come up to you and say, look. So obviously I've paid this much. How is my course worth this much? What things do I have to do to get a 2.1? You must have a metric to prove... And it becomes about money, not value. Mm. It becomes not about... Because university should be about self-guided learning and expanding your view on the world and all the things that are in it, not how do I make this worth the money that I'm paying for it, which is... It's not the student's fault that they're told this is worth so much. Mm. So that they want to get their money's worth, you know?
Well, it's been a while since I've seen such a backlash crop up in the social networks and online. And there's even some kind of little activistic student-based websites cropping up all over the place. And I'm really hoping that we can see some kind of... enough awareness raised so that people who are going to be deciding on this really sit up and listen.
It's worth adding that the majority now of the Tory and Lib Dem government went to university for free.
I know, I feel like an idiot because I actually got a grant to do physics and I paid it back because I didn't complete the course and I paid it back so that I could have that grant later on. Is that gullible?
It's not gullible. It's very honourable.
I thought I would not. I'm not going to take this money and run. I need to be sure that I can get my decent education later on. Mm. Which, of course, now I don't think that many people will be able to get. We'll see what happens. Hannah, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your hopefully calmer, stress-free birthday.
Yeah, let's call this cathartic.
yes, we've purged. Thank you very much indeed.
It's all right.